Hello, and welcome to the voice of ICMI's Customer Management Insight Team, our online podcast journal for customer contact professionals worldwide. I'm your host, Janie Yadipalo. Today's podcast, New Opportunities to Ensure Customers Receive the Most from Speech-Enabled IVR, is brought to you by our sponsor, Empirix, and the International Customer Management Institute, ICMI. This podcast is the second in a series of five segments examining how Internet Protocol Networks, or IP networks, influence the ways that customer care organizations test and monitor the systems they primarily depend on, including routing, interactive voice response, and customer relationship management systems. Our guest today is Steve McCoy, Director of Technology Strategy for West Interactive. Steve, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Janie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Steve, how would you characterize the key differences between implementing a speech-enabled interactive voice response system over an IP network versus solely over a circuit switch network?
Oh, boy. We're starting right off. In most respects, I'd say there isn't as much difference as many people sometimes think, because the core operation of the IVR systems really doesn't change. Your scripts, your program calls, your logic will all remain the same with regard to IP, but how you handle the audio and the voice streams within the IVR will be significantly different and actually offers real advantages when you're talking about deploying speech technologies like recognition and text-to-speech. When you look at classical IVR operation and circuit switch models, it was necessary to deploy speech technology in really two different ways. Most commonly and earlier, we put speech cards or speech resources directly inside the voice response units that allowed them to do speech rec, text-to-speech in very high-performance ways, but was incredibly expensive and really very difficult for many customers to deploy. The next method or the next step in that evolution involved a logical migration towards IP, where we allowed the IVR systems to act as little miniature voice over IP gateways. So they would convert the circuit switched audio into IP and pass that to server-based speech technology devices that could be shared across IVRs. That improved it, but it was still very expensive. With a move towards voice over IP, effectively audio is delivered right at your doorstep in a format that's already compatible with your speech technology systems. So the caller audio can be switched between the IVR resources and the speech services resources without that gateway function. So it's much more flexible in exploiting and allowing use of those expensive speech resources across larger pools of IVRs. Because it doesn't change, the VoIP doesn't change the application logic, it shouldn't scare anybody. But it does require some real focus on the network issues and, all of us getting over the hump of understanding that voice is just another form of data may seem a little overwhelming. But when we look back at recent times, how many of us could have predicted what our networks would look like, even 5 years ago?
Well, from your own experience, what are essential best practices for ensuring that a speech-enabled interactive voice response system functions optimally over an IP network?
Oh, boy, best practices. Thanks for that opportunity. That's a big challenge. The real issue is that, your network is the most important topic. Deploying IP telephony, everyone needs to consider the voice elements that may share a network fabric and operational processes that they didn't have before. Our old view of having telecom organizations and datacom organizations is really kind of gone. But let me suggest a few important elements that are part of determining those things for anybody's particular environment. The biggest thing I could say is to plan on planning a lot. There's not a single recipe book that anyone can go pick out that says, this is exactly how you deploy voice over IP, because their particular situation needs a lot of evaluation. It's important to educate your staff on how to make those decisions, or look for consultative assistance on how you can go through that evaluation process. But here's kind of a, let me suggest a group of kind of key planning topics that you definitely need to look at in those circumstances. First, it's what type of network are you running or will need to run. MPLS solutions are rapidly replacing old ATM and frame and point-to-point circuits because MPLS is a very flexible architecture, but it's not a prerequisite for voice over IP. I think that's confusing some people because the term is used very frequently. VoIP is simply IP data, and your network choices need to be driven by your understanding of your overall traffic needs with voice over IP in the mix, but nevertheless, the same kinds of skills that we've used in the past for understanding volumes, traffic patterns, geography, and recoverability. The next big thing is protocol, that being most prevalent today, SIP or session initiation protocol, is rapidly becoming the more standard circumstance, replacing older H323 scenarios. But that decision isn't predetermined either, and everyone has to understand their own hardware and software capabilities and their future. Codecs, C-O-D-E-C, the compression techniques or formats for audio packetizing are really the critical, most important overall bearing on call quality and network capacity. That said, there's also sometimes a degree of fear that seems to be out there with people in terms of compression methods. And compression will definitely result in a certain degree of audio degradation. But when you look at all of us using wireless communications, the quality and compression of most wireless formats is significantly higher than what is standard in voice over IP implementation. So it's reasonable to expect that you can find a good compromise of compression options that produce good quality for good value. A couple other terms that people will have to get familiar with, QoS, quality of service, is a specific term relating to how you prioritize packets. In other words, voice is very time sensitive, and you may have to prioritize voice packets over some types of data packets in your network configuration. And security will be an issue in voice networks that people haven't dealt with before. So all of these things together, I guess the most important single best practice for implementing IP for IVR and speech is ensuring that you've got a network fabric that will meet your requirements, and learning how to evaluate those elements are really critical to getting that right.
And to close, Steve, what are the two main ideas call center managers need to know regarding how to test speech-enabled interactive voice response systems in an IP environment?
Really, it's probably less associated with IP, but the two most important aspects of testing speech-enabled interactive voice response in any form is really the comparison of subjective testing and objective testing. It's important to establish measurements for subjective, where we simply have people make calls and listen to things, that eliminate as much opportunity for any personal bias as possible. Good definitions of terms, consistent test scripts, and education of resources doing your testing are always important, whether it's IP or circuit switch. But they may take on a little extra value when your users or testers have a solid understanding of how to do their job. And in a world where anything changes, sometimes people are a little more sensitive to what they're doing. So subjective needs to be handled carefully. One of the really good things about IP telephony is the opportunity to improve the processes, though, associated with objective testing and measuring. As voice is turned into data, we can now measure it more effectively than we could in the past. You know, we've had that marvelous term where if you can measure it, you can manage it, and that holds true in this world, too. People are getting more familiar with terms like latency, jitter, packet loss, and those reflect elements of determining the quality of an audio stream beyond some of our past circuit switch capabilities. Lots of hardware and software providers are delivering solutions for objective measurements in their IP telephony solutions. Our company has a long history of using tools for circuit switch call monitoring from Empirix and others and internally developed scenarios. Empirix has been a really useful, valued partner in our understanding of the differences and similarities with tools across IP and circuit switched with regard to implementations, networks, and platforms, and they've helped us bridge the gap between circuit switched and IP. With the tools and the education that's available and key support when we've needed it, I could say Empirix and West and have continued to improve on how to manage development activities, testing, and implementation in some very important speech-enabled self-service applications. You know, if I kind of summarize it, I'd say IP telephony is not coming anymore. It's here. Our company goal as we faced that challenge was to prepare for voice over IP according to our customers' timelines, not just our internal needs. And with a focus on network architecture, understanding traffic, and tools to test and monitor IP telephony, we know that everybody out there can be successful with VoIP in their businesses, too.
Thank you very much, Steve. You've been listening to a conversation with Steve McCoy, Director of Technology Strategy for West Interactive. I'm Janie Yadipolo. Thank you also to everyone in our audience for joining us for our podcast, brought to you by our sponsor, Empirix, and the International Customer Management Institute.